Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Robbie Gallaty to the podcast. Robbie serves as senior pastor of Long Hollow Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. He's the author of numerous books, including a recent one entitled Here and Now, Thriving in the Kingdom of Heaven Today. Robbie, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Hey, Doc. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Listen, before we get into the meat of the conversation today, which will be on the pastor and developing a kingdom-minded ministry and really taking the conversation from your recent book that I just referenced, man, give us a word of update on you and your family and your ministry there at Long Hollow.
Yeah, we, Candy and I, my wife, we been married 15 years. We have two boys, Rig and Ryder, and somebody told me recently, is it true you named both your boys after a trucking company? So, I mean, that's the reality, Rig and Ryder, and they're pretty tough boys, love to wrestle. And we've been here at Long Hollow for almost 4 years, followed an amazing pastor, David Landreth, came here 20 years ago. The church was a small kind of farming community. And David, through the leadership of him and some other guys, the church just exploded in growth. And David got sick toward the end of 2013 and then passed away in 2014, really at the height of the ministry. And church was about a year without a pastor. And then I came in 2015. And it's been an amazing journey, pastoring a great church, great people. And we're just loving being here now. It's a great season.
Now, you mentioned your boys are tough. I have two boys and three girls, and my boys are rowdy as well. But look, I have to pick up on the toughness because most people who meet Robbie Gallaty, they're struck by, you're a big man, Robbie. You're about my height, but you have, I don't know, probably 50 more pounds of muscle than I do. And am I right in understanding that in your background, you did wrestling or mixed martial arts? Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I did some MMA fighting years ago and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So, yeah, that was pre-Christ, though. So, yeah, I think you and I are about that. I think you could beat me in basketball now, but I may have you in size. So,
hey, you definitely have me in size.
You may be more.
Yeah, I tell people when I played college basketball, I actually weighed more than I do now. I was about 225. But I weigh less than that now, but that two, now I'm about 210, that weight has been altogether rearranged and reapportioned. And, I mean, you're a big dude,
right.
Robbie. I bruise easily. You're a big dude. You could do some hurt to a guy like me.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm 6'6", 270 now, so probably about the same height, though.
You're like Zion Williamson. Good grief. Put on another 15 pounds. You can take him. Well, listen, let's talk shop here about the book, Here and Now, and your ministry there. You reference your family in Long Hollow, and delightful to hear how the Lord is blessing your work there. Tell me about the book, Here and Now. What prompted you to write it?
Yeah, so obviously, this is something that's been on my heart for a while. I started studying the New Testament a couple years ago and was really struck by the fact that Jesus is most common topic, the thing he talked about more often than anything was the kingdom of heaven. But then I started to realize, you know, in church life today, there's a lot of kingdom confusion. And what I mean is, for many people, if I would ask people listening, and I'd ask this question, is the kingdom of heaven here and now or there and then? Meaning, is it a place that we go to after we die, or is it a power, the rule and reign of God today? I would say most Christians, I think you would agree, would say it's some place we go after we die, right? Like we're waiting for the return of Christ or whether we die before that to be with the Lord someplace in eternity. And while that's true, for Jesus, here's what's really striking. For Jesus, 90% of the time when he uses the term kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, which I think both are synonymous, he's talking about the here and now 90% of the time. He's talking about a person, him. He's talking about a people, the people of God. But he's also talking about a power. Like when Jesus would heal people, he would say, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. And so I started thinking about that. Like, what does that mean for us today in the church? And what it means is I think that we possibly have preached half the gospel. Okay, here's what I mean. I'm not saying the elements of the gospel should change. What I'm saying is let's start preaching a holistic, a totality of the gospel in a sense. Follow me for a moment. Most of the time when we share the gospel with someone, we say, listen, do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Yes. Do you believe you're a sinner? Yes. Do you believe that when you stand before the Lord, he's going to judge? Yes. You don't want to go to hell, do you, right? So repeat after me, say a prayer, put your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and you're going to be saved. And most salvation conversations stop there. And so could it be possible that we have taught people what they're saved from, but we haven't taught people what they're saved for, right? Like we teach them that they don't want to go to hell, and that's a bad place, and put your faith in Christ. But when they cross the threshold of faith, normally we leave them where they are. And so I'm guilty as charged, too. I mean, for years, you know, I would give invitations and people would respond to the gospel. And at the end of that time, in most churches, and those listening would agree, most churches, we bring them forward. We say, hey, church, let's give the Lord a hand for the Allens. You know, Brother Allen just gave his life to the Lord. Let's praise the Lord for what he's done. And then what happens is the pastor turns to the gentleman and says, listen, we're glad you've accepted Christ. Suck it up. We'll see you next week. We pat them on the back. We give them a Bible. We say, start with the Gospel of John, right? And then we say, we'll see you next week. And then what we do is we say, if you want to grow in the Lord, that's on you. If you want to experience the kingdom of heaven, that's on you. If you want to read your Bible, that's an option. You want to be in a discipleship group, that's a choice. You'll never make it. And I think what's happened in the church is, watch this, we have allowed the spiritual disciplines in that model to become recommended but not required activities for the Christian. And so in the book, what I'm trying to make the case for is this. For Jesus, he expected us to live in the kingdom today. And when we live under the rule and reign of the king, we're going to experience all the benefits and blessings and favor and all the things that Jesus gives to kingdom citizens today. And we don't have to wait for tomorrow.
Robert, you just answered like my next five questions together, and you did so helpfully. No. I wasn't about to get out in front of that freight train and stop you. I mean, you were just moving through the book in such a helpful way. And so let me ask you this. Your broader ministry, you're known as this Heart for Discipleship, and that just came through and what you just said a few moments ago. Where did that develop? Is that a part of your personal story, or where you had to feel your way through it, or how did that become such a central emphasis of your ministry? This emphasis on discipleship, and even in this book here, Kingdom Living Here and Now, and the discipleship overtones that you just said.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the Kingdom Living, I think, is the opportunity every Christian has. So every Christian, when you come to faith in Christ, you become a kingdom citizen. And at that point, you have all access to the benefits of the kingdom. You have all the spiritual resources from the checking account of the kingdom, right? And so it's not that we need more of the kingdom of God or that we need more of God. The thing I tell people is God needs more of us. And as we surrender more areas of our life, as we yield more areas of our heart to the Lord, he uses us in great ways. So here's how I learned this. I was my testimony, for those who don't know it quickly, I was raised Roman Catholic, very religious, but I didn't know who the Lord was. I mean, I knew who Jesus was because I'd learned about him. But as far as a relationship goes, I had no understanding of who Christ was. I mean, he was like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus. And when I needed him, I would, you know, rub the utilitarian genie lamp and ask him for something. But I didn't have any relationship with him. I got a scholarship to play basketball at UNC Greensboro, but I was dating a girl at the time. She said, there's no way you're going to go that far away. You need to go close to home. She was going to LSU. I was living in New Orleans. And so I opened the phone book up, Doc, and I found William Carey College in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I didn't even know who William Carey was, much less the college, right? And I tried out for the team a few weeks before the school started. By the providence of God, the grace of God, I had the best tryout I'd ever had. And the coach gives me a full ride to play basketball. 2 weeks into the semester, the girl I'm dating breaks up with me. And here I am stuck at a Southern Baptist college as a Roman Catholic, right? And so I'm like the target of every evangelism class on campus. And I heard the gospel, but I would reject the gospel. Got out of college, got into mixed martial arts. I was a bouncer, bartender, I'm coming home from work, November 22nd, 1999. 18-wheeler comes across two lanes of traffic, sandwiches my car into the guardrail. I herniate two discs in my neck, two discs in my back. I go to the doctor. They send me home with Oxycontin, Valium, Soma, and Percocet. And so here I am, you know, 22 years old, never taken drugs before, and I'm legitimately in pain. And so taking the drugs every 4 to 6 hours for pain. And you know the story, right? I'm addicted to pharmaceutical drugs within a few weeks. The guy who is a friend of mine in the city, he's like, why are you fooling with pharmaceutical drugs? You could buy street drugs. And I moved because I've run out of the prescription in a few weeks. I moved from pharmaceutical drugs to heroin and cocaine, started selling drugs through a long series of events. 3 years, I was addicted to heroin and cocaine. I had $180 to $200 a day heroin and cocaine addiction. I lost 8 friends during that time. 6 went to jail, robbed my own family for $15,000, 2 rehab treatments, one of all places, Tijuana, Mexico. Long story short, November 12th, 2002. I'm in my room. I'm not in a church. I'm not in a revival service. I'm in my room. And I cry out to the Lord. I remembered what a guy in college told me 7 years before. And just for those listening, I mean, don't ever underestimate the power of sown seeds of the gospel in the hardened hearts of men and women. I mean, I'm like the last person who would ever come to Christ. And people from college, when they hear about me today, they're blown away because they knew me back then. I mean, I was like the farthest guy in your mind from Christ, but I was desperate. And I was open, and I cried out to the Lord, and I said, God, if you're real, I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to go after you with the same intensity I did to get high, and I'm going to go all in. And so I have this 24-hour radical Paul-like conversion. But then what happened is, Doc, I wandered for like the next 7-8 months. I didn't know how to read the Bible. I mean, I didn't know how to pray. I knew the Our Father and the Hail Mary, but I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to memorize Scripture. I didn't know I should. And so I'm at Edgewater Baptist Church. You'll know these guys. Dr. Jim Shaddix is the pastor.
Right.
And a seminary student who looks, at that time, 12 or 13 years old, by the name of David Platt, comes across one Sunday, and he's like, hey, man, would you be interested in meeting once a week, study the Bible, memorize Scripture, and pray? I said, David, I'd love to. He said, pray about it. I said, I already have. When do we meet? And so we began to meet for the next 2 years. Every week, twice a week. It started at the General's, over General So's Chicken at the Chinese restaurant, and then we ate pizza at the Italian restaurant. And David was really impactful in getting me to go to seminary. And he said, man, you really want to sharpen your axe and really want to refine your craft if God's called you into the ministry. I actually declared, here's kind of a cool story, I actually declared psychology as my major. David came back, and he was working at the seminary. He said, no, you need to get a degree in expository preaching. I said, suppository what? They were like, no, it's expository preaching. And I said, David, I've got to learn Greek and Hebrew to do that. And I said, I don't even know English very well, right? And he said, man, if God's given you an opportunity to sharpen your skill for the next 4 to 8 years, that will carry you through ministry for the next 40. And he said, if God's given you the opportunity, take it. So, long story short, David impacted me. And so I tell people, I'm the product of discipleship. Now, as a pastor, I go into my first church, 65 people, small church, South Louisiana, and I just expect that every Christian is a disciple maker. Like, this is what I thought. Like, I thought every Christian read their Bible every day. I thought every Christian memorized Scripture. Every Christian spent time in prayer. And what I realized was there was a great deficit in the church. We have been so good at teaching people how to share their faith, watch this, but we haven't taught our people how to share their life with another person. And I realized that we have been really good at decisions and making Christians and making converts, but we have a deficit in the church of making disciples. And so in 2008, I started a ministry. It's called Replicate. We've been around now for over 10 years, and really, our ministry is to serve local churches and pastors and leaders and how to make disciples in the church. Because you would agree, I mean, most know we have to make disciples. Nobody would discount the Great Commission. But knowing what to do and actually doing it is a different thing. And so that's what we've given ourselves to over the last 10 years, is helping pastors make disciples.
Hey, Robbie, let me pause you just for a moment here.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, I'm recording a podcast with Robbie Gallaty. We're talking about the pastor and kingdom-minded ministry. So I have to go back to your story for a moment here. What years did you play basketball at William Carey?
So I was there from 94 to 98. Only played the first 2 years. I actually quit. When did you play?
So we played against one another, Robbie. That's where I'm going with this. I was down the road at Spring Hill College. Of course, we were in the same conference. And we played. I was there 95, 96, 97. And so that means we would have played against one another in college.
Wow. Well, okay, so I never played because I got redshirted, and then long story, but you would have definitely played against guys on the team that I was there, and I remember Spring Hill. We used to go down to Spring Hill. Crazy. I didn't even know that.
So anyway, look, we need to debrief more in a more personal conversation about college days, but man, it's a small world. All right, I got just a few moments here left before we run out the clock on our podcast. Let me ask you this question. What does it mean to have a kingdom-minded ministry?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say a kingdom-minded ministry is one that you realize that you're not building your own kingdom, that you're building the kingdom of God. Now, for a pastor, it's very difficult to comprehend. Why? Because we're so disposed or predisposed to build our church, and it's all about how big we can build it. You know, come and see us. We have the best student ministry. We have the best music ministry. And the Lord showed me a long time ago, Robbie, there's only one king and there's only one kingdom. And number one is, you're not the king of the throne of your own heart, and I'm the king of this kingdom. So that really has been freeing for me, and realizing that my job as a pastor is to equip the saints in my church, the believers, the disciples of God, to go make disciples. And some of those disciples are going to be outside of Long Hollow. Some of those disciples are going to be outside of this city, even outside of the country. And so in our discipleship ministry, we lead our people on a pathway. So we move them from worship to life groups, which is a smaller gathering. And then from life groups, we forge friendships for D groups, which are groups of 3 to 5. This is really what we're big on, 3 to 5, men with men, women with women, for the purpose of intimacy, accountability, confidentiality, scripture memory, and obedience to the Lord, but more importantly, replication. The groups meet to replicate 12 to 18 months later. But out of that funnel is a missional mindset of living. So we're always mobilizing our people, whether we're mobilizing them to adopt the local school by their home group or life group, whether we're challenging them to do neighborhood hangouts in their community, whether we're challenging them to be a part of one of our church plants. We have a robust goal to plant 32 churches in all 32 sinned cities over the next 25 years. So that's kind of our plan now to do that. And so we're constantly raising people up to send people out. And so that's what it means to have a kingdom-minded ministry. I think it's realizing the kingdom is way bigger than where we are and where God has assigned us. And it's also one thing I want to say too, as well, for pastors listening, when God calls you to a church, he doesn't just call you to a people. He calls you to love a city. He calls you to pastor the community you're in. So it's way bigger. And this is a subtle, maybe semantic kind of mindset change, but it's understanding that it's way bigger than just the people God has called you to shepherd. God has called you to reach a community. And that subtle shift in our mind, and when you reach a community, you have to be okay with people not giving you the credit, right?
Right.
When we do outreach events, we don't go out and with signs that say Long Hollow loves the city. And I'm not against people who do this. We don't go out with T-shirts that say Long Hollow Baptist loves our city. We just go out with a shirt that says love our city or love our community. And what we realize is that takes away any kind of pride or arrogance to think that this is something we do and it's for our ministry and it's about our efforts. And those are little subtle things, but I think helpful.
Robbie, time has flown by here, brother, and it's been fun to talk about your new book and about basketball and life and ministry, and particularly in cultivating a kingdom-minded ministry. I want to thank you for being with me on Preaching and Preachers. I want to commend your new book, again, Here and Now, Thriving in the Kingdom of Heaven Today. It's out with B&H Publishers, and you can secure a copy for yourself wherever books are sold. Robbie, thank you for being with me on Preaching and Preachers.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.